Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, police.
Oh my God!
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucker!
All right. Hello, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. A lot of big topics. The feeds are full.
The feeds are full. We are back with the Elise Millie takeover. We did get some of y'all enjoy chaos.
We and did I appreciate get some that
positive feedback on that. please seek help if you we miss Amanda so deeply.
I know, but congratulations to her on missing this particular day of news.
Well, she's like DMing me, like, and I'm like, do not engage at all.
Yeah, I actually at one point I was gonna text Amanda about the news, which we will get into today, and then I was like, you know what? Leave her alone. Leave this woman alone. She's in Marseille.
For
Leave
real.
Her alone.
She's going to stress about it anyway. And she's going to stress about it when she comes back. So
she knows. We don't she need knows. To. So I did not text Amanda about any
of
the news.
I'm proud of you, Elise. So proud.
I left Amanda alone. Okay. So we're going to start with some updates about Uvalde and another shooting that took place before we get into what I'm sure you guys are expecting, which is Depp Heard stuff. And then a fun game of support or suppress, because we get to have fun, too.
We get to have fun, too. And, you know, whatever.
The takes are hot today. So let's get into it. So first up, Pete Arredondo, the chief of the Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District Police Department. Listen, I am preparing to go to Spain next week.
Yes. Look, I just want y'all to know, I know that this is very important, very serious news. But that R role, I'm proud of Elise.
Thank you. And it's important when you see the double R's to know that it's a role, because sometimes people who are not Latino will bring me up on stage and they'll roll the R in Morales. And I'm like, that's not
Morales.
Correct.
Morales.
Not correct. Not right.
Not right.
Not right for Tamaras either.
Yeah, it's not right for Tamaras. But tell me what Pete Arredondo did.
So he's refusing to cooperate with the Texas Department of Public Safety investigation into decisions the police department made that day. He claims that he has talked to DPS every day and that he will explain himself to the families once they are done grieving. So once again, there's kind of weird differing reports on this, because DPS says that he has stopped talking to them, but then he says that he is talking to them. As we've discussed a bunch of times, the police have been consistently kind of saying different things, and then it seems like they've kind of shut down after last Friday DPS did this press conference where they were lightly critical of the police response. They were like, they probably shouldn't have waited 45 minutes in a hallway, and now they have stopped
talking
to them.
Very light criticism. The lightest... I feel like of the criticisms that they could have got that day, super light sodium.
Yeah,
light,
absolutely.
The
language was like they made the wrong choice, which is when I worked at a daycare, the language that we would use to like teach the kids right and wrong in a non-punitive, like non-judgmental way is that we would say wrong choice.
Yeah. Better choices said, could have been made. Yeah, and they're like,
wrong choice. And now they're like, we will not cooperate with the investigation.
Tantrum.
Which sometimes happens.
No, I'm just like, it's so funny because these are the same people who like when there's when there's policies like stop and frisk or even the Patriot Act where they're surveilling people. It's like, well, if you have nothing to hide, why aren't you being open? They can ask you whatever.
Why don't you open your backpack? Exactly.
And it's like,
why don't you open your backpack, and Uvalde, like, school district police department, and show us what's in there?
Yeah, and most of the time people are like, leave me alone. Like, I'm just trying to live my life. And in this, it's like, no, you guys actually fucked up. And now we do want to, like, they're liable to us. We pay taxes.
Yeah, and I do feel like it's kind of a gross smokescreen for this guy to be like, I'll cooperate with the investigation when the families are done grieving, when it's like, terrible. But the families want this investigation too. Like, these questions are being asked by the families. This investigation is representing these families. So I don't think that these families are like, what's on their mind is you not cooperating with the investigation because they don't find it proper. I find that hard to believe.
Speaking of like rolling R's and all of that, like, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, but a big, big fact of Uvalde being 70% Latino and them holding all their press conference solely in English, not answering any follow-up questions. Like, Latin media is out there in full force, and this police department has been fully ignoring them. And people have just been saying, you know, again, like, we always say that this shooting exemplifies 15 different issues, but just that the police have been like menacing these people for so long, and now they're supposed to do their job. They're not doing it, and they're not even cooperating.
Yeah. And it just shows a lack of respect for the community, I think, to say you're not going to cooperate with an investigation into something of this nature. I think the fact that this did happen in a Latinx community and among kind of Latinx people has also made the response and how the grieving families have been treated in this, I think, very strange. I don't know. Like, the fact that they were all standing around outside the school, like, begging people to do something, it's very strange to me.
Very strange. Very gross. And, you know, like, this is just an unfortunate situation, but I would like to think that, you know, these are arguments that people have been making for a long time about the power police have, their inaction, what do they really serve? Like, do they need 40% of our budget? Shit like, you know, stuff like that. And it's just like, people are asking these questions even more. You know?
And just accountability, too, because it's like, if you're going to get 40% of our budget, then you have to answer questions when we ask you what the hell you're up to. You know, like, it's like, you can't get 40% of the budget and then also not cooperate with an investigation into a literal massacre took place in a school.
With children. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just... Yeah, again, as we've been saying, it really exemplifies a lot of different things that are going on. And it also, until we do something, it's not going to change, as exemplified by yesterday when a gunman entered an orthopedic center at the St. Francis Hospital campus in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and killed four people. The gunman is also dead. Police believe by self-inflicted wounds. Jesus 10 people Christ. Were injured. He had two firearms, a semi-automatic rifle and a semi-automatic pistol. The AR-15 style weapon was purchased the same day of the shooting, and the handgun was purchased 3 days before. Now, this brings up an interesting point, which is that there are all these laws that could have maybe stopped this, waiting periods, bans, etc. All of those laws are put on women who want abortions.
Absolutely. They fucking damn near banned abortions already in Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, Oklahoma, I think, Oklahoma is the one that straight up banned it from fertilization. So now it's like, but this guy was able to buy a gun and that day use it in a shooting.
And then used another gun 3 days before. So it's like, if there were waiting periods or if there's somebody who bought multiple guns, like, that's also one of the laws that people have been arguing about, is like not being able to buy multiple guns in a, like, within a short period of time.
Yeah.
Also, like, a fucking orthopedic center, like, fuck you. Like, this is just as bad. This is just as bad as walking into a school. Like, you know everybody in there can't run. Like, they can't.
Exactly. Like, they're in a hospital. Exactly. To attack a hospital, like, that's grotesque as well.
It's, like, I mean, you shouldn't attack anything, but...
No.
You know.
Agreed.
Fucking a hospital. And then the fact that, like, he is dead because he did it to himself. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, the cops didn't even do it there. Like, good Lord.
Yeah, I mean... And again, it... She's like, this didn't happen because the hospital had too many entrances. This didn't happen because of mental illness. Even though, yeah, I do think, like, there is a sub-conversation to have about mental illness. Obviously, these people who are doing this are incredibly troubled people who maybe if they had access to certain resources wouldn't do this. But the more pressing issue is that people have access to these weapons and they can buy them and turn around that day and do a shooting.
Yeah. And it's like, we're doing bounty hunter laws on women to not get, like, it's like, you guys have the capabilities to track someone down. Like, when someone buys a fucking AR-15, you should be tracking these fucking people down. Because I really don't know what you're going to do with an AR-15.
Yeah, because it's not hunting.
Besides shoot up a hospital.
You're not hunting.
You're not going to get a deer. Like, no one wants to... Even though, personally, I say it all the time. I know you say it all the time. No one should have guns. I don't give a fuck about hunting. Whatever, if you want to hunt, like, that's whatever. But I just don't give a fuck. And also, people who do hunt don't want a deer with 15 bullet holes in it. Like, to hang it up in their house.
No, they that's not how it works. Yeah.
And whatever. So you don't even need it for hunting. So why do you need an AR-15?
No, and you don't need it to, like, there's the other argument that's like, well, I want to protect myself against the government. And it's like, I saw a tweet that was like, the government could, like, disintegrate your house with a laser. The U.S. government?
And not even, like, leave, like, with a drone.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone could just press a button and precision nuke your house. Like, you're not... An AR-15 is actually only to be used to kill your fellow regular person.
Against the government. Okay, good luck. You mean the police that don't do shit? Like, sorry.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, I just don't know a situation where it's like... Wow, an AR-15 could have helped this. Like,
not one like, situation.
I mean, you know, just, you know, ask people in the Middle East what the American government can do and if an AR-15 would have helped.
Yeah, yeah. Truly ask someone who's been drone striked if they think that having an AR-15 in that moment would have assisted in that situation. But I mean, it's all... It's very upsetting. I know this Senate group is still working on trying to maybe get some red flag laws, maybe some of these waiting periods. I know that it still kind of falls short of what needs to happen, but keep the pressure up. Like we've been saying, there's an election coming up. We can ask people to do more.
And again, I know we're like broken record, but it's like the Democrats should be, unfortunately, taking this and running with it. Like, these people will not do shit. Joe Manchin will not do shit. Like, just go all the way in. You know what I mean?
I know. Like, I feel like they need to campaign on the fact that it's like, we actually need to neutralize Joe Manchin. Like, we need to get more senators because Joe Manchin fucking sucks.
We thought we could depend on him and we can't. And that was a miscalculation, which many people told you that you couldn't. But whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, what's the fucking strategy? Kitchen table issues? Like, we can't run on those anymore. Gas is $9 a gallon. There are no kitchen table issues anymore.
There are no kitchen table issues.
Groceries are expensive as fuck. Like, it's easier to buy Grubhub than to go to the grocery store.
Yeah. Well, the White House announced this week that they are starting a month-long focus on the economy. So We'll see what happens at the end of the month.
Okay, well, I was gonna say they did have BTS on.
They did have BTS.
And somebody was like, I thought it was really ridiculous, but then 300,000 people were watching the live stream, which is crazy for, you know, like a, what was it, like, I think a Facebook Live or something with like, so BTS, the Gen Z is, loves BTS.
They're popular in a way that like I personally don't even fathom, though I do like their music. I just don't like, I have my Gen Z cousin is a huge BTS fan and has been on that like ride for a long time, and I just, they have an unfathomable level of fame.
Yeah. Also, I will say, which I haven't heard a lot about this, Tucker Carlson, because BTS went to the White House and talked about AAPI violence against Asian people, and Tucker Carlson was upset and talked about it on Fox News on his program, and God bless him, because the army, the BTS army, has been harassing him for days.
I really think that if anyone could take him down, it's the BTS army.
And I want to see more of that. We stand with you. Betcha Sub stands
absolutely
with you.
Oh, Betcha Sub absolutely stands with the BTS army.
Yes.
100, unequivocally.
Sure. Yes.
Stand.
And we stand, and I'm just going to say, you know, maybe Betcha Sub is not supposed to be endorsing political whatever, but we do stand 100% unequivocally with the BTS army. More cyberbullying of Tucker Carlson,
yes,
please.
And Fox News personalities in general.
All of them need, honestly,
they're pro cyberbullying when it's their side doing it. So
exactly,
you
no,
know,
exactly.
They can
they're
get cyberbullied.
Cancel culture when it's getting someone fired. They're pro, like, there's a black woman on Star Wars now, and they're all fucking harassing
people
her.
Are mean, yeah,
yeah. So it's like, you guys, they don't care about cyberbullying or any of that. So okay, BTS army, go hard. We stand
also
with you.
Like, you're really going to be mad that a Korean pop group spoke out against hate crimes against Asians at, like, a very ceremonial White House event. Like, find something else, man. Find something else. This is it's the most, like, I feel like, unoffensive thing they could possibly have spoken out about.
Yeah, because honestly, the hate crimes against, a majority of the hate crimes against Asian people are like these young assholes punching the shit out of an old woman and like, or pushing them down, or like,
you're gonna stand with that?
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Speaking of the question, you're going to stand with that.
Yeah. Wow.
Let's move on.
Elise and Millie take over. Amanda, come back.
Okay, let's move on. As you guys have probably heard from even a cursory glance of social media starting from 3 p.m. yesterday until now, a jury sided with Johnny Depp in his defamation suit against ex-wife Amber Heard yesterday. The jury awarded Depp $15 million in damages, which the judge in the case then reduced to $10.4 million. He had originally sued her for $50 million. Heard was awarded $2 million in compensatory damages. Basically, they found that they found in his favor on all of her counts. I'm trying to figure out how to explain this. Okay, they found in his favor on everything, and then they found in her favor on one thing and awarded her $2 million in her countersuit. A lot has already been said about this. A lot is being said. One big thing that I've been seeing talked about a lot is the social media aspect of all of this. I did not realize, but the jury was not sequestered for this trial. So even though they are not supposed to have looked up anything about the trial, obviously, like, access to social media, the way memes were spreading, it's hard to imagine that they didn't get any of that stuff into their feed. Heard is expected to appeal the verdict. Both of them have released statements since then. She, you know, said that she was heartbroken in hers. He said that the jury gave him his life back in his.
Oh my God. He was playing with Beck fucking 5 nights ago, but anyway.
He personally was not present at the verdict. He was in Europe, which I think is like, it was so weird to watch because I actually did watch this part live and I texted you and I was like, I think, because I was on Twitter and I was like, I think Depp Heard is happening now. So then I watched the live Twitter thing. It was. So what was very odd to me when I was watching it live is just like, because he wasn't there, it was just the camera on her the entire time. And I was like, this is so indicative kind of what this whole thing has been.
Yeah.
Which is like, he's not even there.
And like, if anyone had an incentive to not be there, it would be her, honestly. It was his lawsuit. He was the one who pushed it. I would not be mad at her if she wasn't showing up to the courtroom. But she couldn't.
I feel like when I learn new things about the legal system all the time, and I didn't know that you could just not be there.
Be in Europe.
I thought he would have to be there.
Terrible.
So much has been talked about this. We're going to focus on the cultural impact, those implications, the domestic violence conversation that has been been brought up by this. So I guess let's start with, a lot of people are talking about what this means for the Me Too movement. I'm wondering, where have you come down on this? Where are you at in your processing of this case versus Me Too and all of that?
I feel like society, this is just a backlash, right? Like society has been waiting to be, you know, ever since the Me Too thing happened, it's not like things have drastically changed for women. Like, women still get abused and stuff, but like, now people are, I guess, leaning more towards believing them, and not even all people, but it's like this whole thing of like, powerful people were scared of, like, oh, I guess you can't even hug a woman, or you can't even do whatever, like, and it's like, yeah, you can't probably do that without their consent. So I feel like people have been trying to latch on to like something where it's like, Me Too is fake, or like, it's gone too far, people have gotten fired, or this and that, even though like literally every single person, with the exception of Harvey Weinstein, has been able to work again, has been able to get off free, has been able to do whatever they want and just chill. Like, you know, so there's that. And I think, yeah, it's just, I don't know. What do you think, Elise?
You know, I've been really going back and forth on a lot of things. I mean, just in general, watching this case, I felt myself evolve from when he was first testifying to really, and me kind of feeling like, oh yeah, this is complicated. I do have a lot of questions about what I think about this, to getting to the end where now that I've kind of like read a lot of people with expertise on this, I actually don't feel like the case is complicated anymore. But either way, I think my feeling is, regardless of how an individual person feels like the blame should be parsed out in the Johnny Depp Amber Heard relationship, I think the way that this case was talked about, the way that this case has been memed, and the way that it's already being used is bad. I think the implication that, 'cause, you know, she was on trial. This wasn't actually a trial about whether or not he abused her. That
has been proven.
Yeah, I mean, that was found to be substantially true in the UK trial. This trial was about whether or not her statement against him was defamatory. Mm-hmm. And so for her statement against him to be defamatory means that a woman who has a conviction, or not a conviction, because these are all, like, not criminal cases, mm-hmm. but a woman who has a ruling in her favor in the United Kingdom, a woman who has, you know,
endless
ample
evidence.
Video mm-hmm. and text message evidence. His text witnesses. Messages are the things that disturb me the most personally. I just don't. I've never known a man who talks about a woman like that to not be a scary person. So for me, the texts are really what sent it over the edge and like my feelings about Johnny Depp personally. But either way, she had, with the evidence that she had, it is scary to think that you can be found guilty of defamation and charged with millions of dollars, because I do feel that she had enough to be able to make the statement that she made in the Washington Post, which did not even name him.
Yeah.
And so women with much less going in their favor, I can't imagine feeling like you could come forward with that. If you don't have even more evidence than she had, or even more stuff on her side than she had, even, yeah, it's just hard to imagine.
Well, I think a lot of things that I've been reading is like she had way more than the average domestic violence victim, because, you know, you're just so shocked from getting hurt or abused that who's thinking to take pictures or whatever. And even like even his witnesses are like, which is one of the things that can, you know, convinced me, or, you know, kind of made it seem like it's so obvious that he's not a good person, is like, even his witnesses, pro Johnny Depp people, are like, oh yeah, well, we just have to hide all positive news about her because he would get upset and start throwing things. It's like stuff like that. And it's like,
there are texts where they're like, Johnny destroyed Amber's closet, and you see the closet, and it's like, even if you believe the mutual abuse tact, which I did for the beginning part of the trial, even if you believe that, Amber Heard should have been able to make the statement that she made in the Washington Post, which exactly did not name him at all. And the fact that women can't even say that, I really do feel like is a backlash to Me Too, when we saw so many women come forward, some of them naming their abusers, but some doing things similar to Amber Heard, where they came forward about abuse they suffered, didn't actually name their abuser, but probably people in their social circle maybe could have deduced who they were talking about. And now it's like, you can do that, but he can sue you. And maybe you get awarded $10 million, and you could lose.
Yeah, which is terrifying. And I think people don't, I think people see it as like, oh, finally, male victims. Like, he's so brave for coming out. And it's like, they just have not done any, like, deep research at all. Like, it's kind of the same thing that happens with Democrats and Republicans when, like, Donald Trump gets impeached and Democrats are like, oh, this is wrong to fucking do quid pro quo on Ukraine or to start an insurrection. And then Republicans are like, this is blasphemy. And then the news reports that I was like, both sides are a mess, or like, this is so messy. And it's just like, what are we doing here? Like, obviously, people
the whole
who
proceeding
feel like,
is a disgrace. And it's like, okay, but also, why is that the case? And which side, like,
and it's just like not really respecting. And it's like, you have to know that people, even if it is complicated and messy, or like Amber fought back, which honestly, fuck that shit. Like, every time, it's just so crazy because it reminds me like before Don Lemon became super woke and whatever, when somebody was talking about Bill Cosby and was like, yeah, he forcibly made me, you know, do something. They're like, well, why didn't you bite it off? Or why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you fight back? And then or like, it's like, oh, well, if I was getting hit by my husband, I would fight back, like that kind of rhetoric. And it's like, here's somebody who finally did. And now she's like, it's just like, there's no winning. There's no way. So it's like, fuck that.
There absolutely isn't. And it's just reminded me, I've been thinking a lot about how, like, back in the day with the civil rights movement, they had to, like, be really, really thoughtful about the cases that, like, they took. Like, Rosa Parks was, like, chosen to be the one who refused to go to the back of the bus to start that case because she was, like, of unimpeachable character and was, like, a little church lady. Whereas there were, like, previously women and, like, young black mm-hmm. women who had done the same thing as her, but their cases were not chosen because they, you know, maybe had like a child out of wedlock yeah. or some kind of charge in their past, whatever. They had yeah. something. And it really does feel like this case was like chosen for the opposite reason. Like mm-hmm. they found the most imperfect defendant. Yeah. And we're like, okay, this case is one that we can like, there's a lot of crazy evidence in here. We can mm-hmm. send Johnny Depp up on the stand and he can do his shtick. He can go do his pirate thing and be like, well, I love wine and whatever. And then say she pooped in his bed and like turn it into this weird circus. And because she wasn't perfect and because there are some unsavory things about her and there are some questions about whatever, and there's evidence that she also struck back, they were able to like blow Me Too open with this.
I don't know. I wasn't a lot, like I wasn't like obviously an adult when the Monica Lewinsky thing happened, but this just reminds me of something. And I just know that, I know we have a Lewinsky quote, but it's just like, I just know that this is going to be something that in a few years people are going to be embarrassed about and all that stuff. Like the SNL sketches, the TikToks, all of that. Like, I know that in the same way that Lewinsky, just because, and I don't know if popular culture, because I know that there are many people who, it's not the majority, but there are a lot of people who are like, this is fucked up. Amber Heard, like, wasn't perfect, but, you know, all these things that we're saying, like, I don't know if there were voices like that pro-Lewinsky at the time. So that gives me a little bit of hope that like there are already people who know what's up and like in the future we can go whatever. But yeah, it's just like unfortunate. And it's also like years later, people will be able to more objectively see just like years later. I didn't even know. All we knew, I was young and I knew that Lewinsky gave Clinton a blowjob.
Yes.
I didn't even know that he ate her out on a bathroom sink in his office. You know, that's not really mm-hmm. common knowledge. We know all of her shit, but it's like, and maybe it is like this time or something, but that's just something that I keep thinking about is like, this is going to be something like that people are already seeing the truth and that the people will come forward and be like, oh, I fucked up on that. I hope, you know?
Yeah, like it's made me feel kind of, because yeah, I wasn't at the time, so I don't know how many people were speaking up for her. It's made me feel heartened that there is a lot of contemporary writing about this where people are like, what is going on? What has yeah. been going on? Yeah. But it also shows me that like we're not so much further from that like really shitty 90s, early 2000s culture that we keep trying to be retrospective about, because it's like at the end of the day, whatever you think about Amber Heard and all of this stuff, these allegations in this case deserve to be taken seriously. And that's what Believe Women is about. It's not this like thing that conservatives have perverted it to mean, which is to believe every woman about every single thing at all times, no matter what. It's about treating things women say with seriousness mm-hmm. and treating not a Pinocchio memeing a domestic violence trial, you know, like it's sick. Yeah.
No. And again, like Believe Women, I think for me, it just does even more like exemplify why we do need to believe women, because there is literally no incentive for anybody to come forward about stuff. And like, yeah, maybe a small percentage of people aren't accurately recalling things or maybe will lie, but like that's so small. But for the most part, we have to believe women take things seriously. And yeah, like even if it's proven whatever, we shouldn't be, again, Pinocchio memeing, doing TikToks about somebody getting their, like, and the thing is that like people did see it. Like his people said, yeah, he smacked her, but she smacked him back. Like we shouldn't, it's not debated of if he did it or not. It's just that she can't talk about it. And I think that's just something that we have to keep in mind too.
Yeah. I agree. So I wanted to round out this discussion because you brought up Monica Lewinsky. There's a really great piece by her in Vanity Fair, and I wanted to pull this quote from it, which is just, the legal spectacle would be sad enough if it just impacted the personal lives of Depp, Heard, and their loved ones. It would be sad enough if we just considered how it impacted domestic violence survivors or those who have sought strength in the Me Too movement. However, it's the larger implications for our culture that concern me most, the ways we have stoked the flames of misogyny, and separately, the celebrity circus. And that just really struck me because I really do feel like if you're someone who's dealing with a domestic violence situation, who's thinking about taking your ex to court, or who's thinking about leaving, or who's thinking about getting the law involved, who's thinking about not even getting the law involved, but just speaking about what has happened, you know, there are people who will say, well, like, Amber Heard got treated the way she did because she's a liar and she lied. Okay. I don't believe that, but if someone believes that, whatever. It is still discouraging to a domestic violence survivor to watch a trial like this and to see, oh shit, if I'm perceived as a liar by the public, I will become a billboard. Literally, people will make me a joke. They will lip sync. Lance Bass will lip sync my testimony. There will be, like, I can be made a complete fool of on the national stage for coming forward if I'm not 100% correct and if people think that I'm a liar.
Yeah. It's really disheartening. And yeah, like, I think something that people have been saying on Twitter is, like, Johnny Depp did a post, and, like, go look at the people, go on Johnny Depp's post and see what people you follow have liked the post. And, like, that is just a super depressing fact. Like, cause it's just like, fuck, like, it is this celebrity circus. It is this misogyny thing, but it's like, shit, there are a lot of people in my life who think that this is okay, or that Johnny, you know, it's again, it's not just the domestic violence survivors. It's everything.
People love that pirate.
That pirate. Oh my God. Like, kill me. Kill me. White people should not be celebrated wearing dreadlocks.
Well, I think he had to have them because he's at sea, Millie, but
there's a lot of people who didn't have dreadlocks.
Millie, he was in jail. He was in jail for many years, Captain Jack Sparrow, and he had to escape, and it's easier to maintain. You know what? We gotta move on.
Yeah, whatever. No.
It's easier to maintain dreadlocks when you're at sea for all.
God, yuck.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Moving on to support or suppress. We're starting with student loans. The Department of Education yesterday announced that they are canceling $5.8 billion in student loan debt for 560,000, mm-hmm. almost half a million borrowers. More than half a million borrowers who attended for-profit Corinthian colleges. The school closed in 2015 after Kamala Harris, who was the California Attorney General at the time, sued them for deceptive and false advertising and recruitment. This was the largest one-time discharge ever made by the Department of Education for student loans. Millie, support or suppress?
Support. I would like to think that the Department of Education or the Biden administration feels like they can't just cancel all of them. So they're doing it big chunk by chunk. And they're starting with the most arguable, egregious cases. Mm-hmm. Where it's, again, people who are public service, for-profit colleges like this that aren't even accredited, that people can't even like get master's degrees with because the colleges don't count. This is what I'd like to think, but I 100% support this. I have $18,000 in public student loan debt that I would love to see go away so I could probably buy a condo or save or something one day.
Yes, call your senator and tell them, Millie needs a condo.
I need a condo. I need
Millie
something.
Millie deserves to live in a condo. Come on, that's not even a big ask.
Please, for real. I need my own condo, guys. Betches up. BTS Army, if you're listening.
We got to get Millie. We got to get Millie living in a condo. That is a modest goal in this
you
world.
Know, I don't have to live mommy in a condo. And daddy. Mommy and daddy aren't going to help me put $30,000 down on a condo. That's not my reality. I need these $18,000 forgiven. Support.
Yep.
What about you, Elise? Support or suppress?
Absolutely, absolutely support in that. I support anyone getting any amount of student loan debt canceled. I'm waiting for them to go all the way. When is it? There were rumors that he was going to do it at the University of Delaware commencement. He didn't do it. Everyone is saying, when are we going to get this? That at least the 10,000 that he talked about on the campaign trail is supposed to be coming.
And we need it because the moratorium ended, I think. Or is ending or something?
You would know better than me.
Oh, it's to August, my bad. It's to August. So
yeah, so that's like, maybe they're going to wait until August, but I don't know. I'm glad that Kamala gets to have a little moment here.
I feel like they don't really bring her for anything besides don't come.
Yeah. Yeah, they send her, I mean, they literally give her, I mean, I guess that is... That is what being the vice president is that you eat shit for the president all the time. It's like literally what Veep is about. But it is nice for us to get a little reminder of the Kamala AG energy for when she was a good cop.
When she was a good cop. Listen, one of my favorite things is her questioning Brett Kavanaugh.
Yep.
One of my favorite things.
Yes. We've talked about it before, but I do miss that energy. And it's like, it's hard to begrudge having the first woman vice president.
Black woman.
And as a black woman, as like, it's hard to begrudge all of the like things that she is by taking that position. But sometimes I do miss her in roles where you get to like
see her in
action.
I don't know,
where she gets to, where she gets to be in the Senate and like actually question these people or whatever.
Before people like shitted on her for getting a $300 pan. Which honestly is a really reasonable price for a liquor set.
Yeah, and also like pans are investment.
Pans are, those kind of pans are investment. Honestly, don't even get me started on pans because there's an Instagram pan that goes to shit after a year. And I'm like, damn, should have got a Le Creuset.
Listen, I put some Le Creuset on my wedding registry and it's all great.
Did you get any?
Yeah, I did. I got a crock pot.
For you.
Like, a Dutch oven.
Dutch oven. A caldero.
A caldero, yeah. All right. On to our next topic, the Mona Lisa. If you haven't already heard, a 36-year-old man dressed as an elderly woman in a wheelchair last week got close enough to the Mona Lisa to smear it with cake. While doing so, he said, "Think of planet Earth. There are people destroying it." He was arrested and taken to a psychiatric infirmary. The painting is in a glass case, so it's fine. they've actually like already accounted for that. Some people might try to smear cake on the Mona Lisa or attack it. Support or suppress?
I'm kind of divided on this because I'm just like, I don't understand what the Mona Lisa has to do with planet Earth.
Yeah.
There are like if he did this to the vessel in Hudson Yards, there are like better displays of damaging planet Earth than the Mona Lisa.
Yeah. What is the carbon footprint on the Mona Lisa? I feel like it's low.
It's very low. And also, You have to wait in line to see the Mona Lisa. Like, you can't just walk up to it. You have to wait in line to take a selfie with it or whatever, which a selfie with it's a little nuts. So I'm just like, this guy waited in line with a piece of cake. He walked through the Louvre with a piece of cake. It's just, he does need to go to a psychiatric infirmary. I'm going to say, I guess suppress.
Yeah, I'm going to suppress just because I don't think that the Mona Lisa needed to be brought into this. Like, support the cause, but suppress the method because, yeah, she's a very small painting from a long time ago. I just don't understand. I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of cost to her upkeep, maybe.
I don't think so. I feel like the Louvre charges so much money and it has a bunch of old shit in it. And honestly, the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, I just wonder,
like
what
famous.
If there are fossil fuels used in the upkeep of the Mona Lisa. I'm not really sure, but I
mean,
feel
to
like
run the building, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but I just feel like the average person probably has a way bigger footprint
than the Mona Lisa.
Than the Mona Lisa.
If you ever see the Mona Lisa in person, the cool thing about it is not actually her, but it's. The thing that makes it a remarkable piece of art is the landscape behind her. It's like you can see the valleys, and that was like the first time that anyone ever painted like that. So if anything, it is a celebration of planet Earth. So for that, I say 36-year-old man dressed up as an elderly woman in a wheelchair. Suppress.
Suppress. Yeah, we're going to suppress that one. All right, final story. A man whose legal name is Santa Claus is running for Alaska's only House seat. He's not accepting any fundraising, and he says he will only spend $400 of his own money on the campaign, which I think rocks. He does look like Santa, and he calls himself an independent progressive democratic socialist with an independent an affinity for Bernie Sanders. He literally tells people to go to Bernie's website if they want to know his platform. Sarah Palin is also running for the seat. The primary is August 16th. Support or suppress?
Support, man. Honestly, yeah. Support. I think, honestly, this guy named Santa Claus is a better candidate than Sarah Palin. I don't know if you know this about me. My first ever protest was Sarah Palin. See, whoa. Sarah Palin speaking at South Coast Plaza in Orange County, California. I got me and the activist club of my college campus. We all drove and protested Sarah Palin speaking at this hall.
Yeah, I feel like I would guess I would rather have Santa Claus in there than Sarah Palin. My guess would be that there's probably another candidate who doesn't have the legal name Santa Claus that also maybe has some good policies. I'm not 100% up on this race, but if it's between Santa Claus and Sarah Palin,
Santa Claus
all the way.
Santa Claus jingle all the way.
Yeah, if it's between Santa Claus and Sarah Palin, jingle all the way. Oh, that's great. I think we're going to call it there.
Yeah, let's just call it, Elise.
Let's call it.
We've had quite a day.
We've had quite a day. We've done a lot. The feeds are still hot. And guys, until the end of democracy, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.